back to my train of thought, my brain cell gets a little confused if I don't try to stay on task. Really, going into next year, I'm not sure what our holes are going to be. I mean, I guess my point is we're not going to be as good at the beginning of next year as we are today because we're going to have some holes. We don't know. We know we're losing two senior safeties. Cam Sutton, is he going to go? Reeves Maven, Kamara, not sure what they're going to do. But it really comes out to how we're going to fill those holes going into next year. Now, we are going to be improving in some areas. Hopefully, I mean, the wide receiver thing to me, I get what you're saying as far as, you know, the production hasn't been very good, but it's also the health of those guys seems to be the biggest impediment to that to me.
Cinco, any thoughts on what Big Rao is saying? And I think, Big Rao, you're bringing up some thoughts, and it is hard to concentrate, Big Rao, when you look at how uncomfortable it is what Stanford right now is doing to that poor Iowa team. And here's Iowa's sin. Iowa's sin is that they had a hell of a season, but they got above their raisin, to quote Ricky Skaggs. And when you get above your raisin, you're going to get what's coming to you in a bowl game. I mean, they're overseeded in that deal. They have no business being there. But, Cinco, any thoughts on what Big Al's saying?
Well, I would suggest this, Big Al, every kid that's going to graduate is going to be replaced by a kid with more football talent. Now, it may not be as much experience. It may not be as much strength right now. But every kid, TK Jr. and the Griffin kid, are better. There's no doubt they're better than the two that are graduating. I don't know that yet about Cam Sutton, but he's not graduating. You know, he may elect to leave and be an NFL player, so I'm going to take that. You know, Kurbison, Warrior this year, but you know, the five-star from Memphis, can't think of his name right now, on and on. And then you're going to get guys like, you know, for the first time, this is when you're going to see like Coleman Thomas, who couldn't really lift his first year, so he's only been in the weight program. He was in a maintenance program the first year because he had to play and he was injured. So you're going to start seeing guys like that really develop. And I also think you're going to start seeing guys that have been around here for two and three years that really aren't, you know, moving the needle. I think you're going to see those guys move on. And in my opinion, that's a good sign. That's a really good sign because it just tells me that we are just, you know, upgrading the roster, you know, every day.
Well, I like that. I think you're right about the talent. And I didn't know Griffin was that good, so I'm glad to hear you say that. I heard some things early in camp, you know, looking good. But I guess he's been hurt so much, it's really hard for me, from what I've seen, to say, yeah, he looks like he's going to be a really good safety for us. To me, one guy was saying the best he's felt since 2001. I think this is the best I felt since the 2004 Cotton Bowl. You know, that was the year we played Auburn in the SEC Championship game and this dismantled Texas A&M in Dallas. And that kind of got me thinking a little bit about comparing our team this year to the Auburn 2003 team. If you remember, that had Jason Campbell, a quarterback, Cadillac Williams, and Ronnie Brown were the running backs. And in 2003, they lost some games early. They kind of came on strong at the end. But 2004, that's the year they went undefeated. And I'm wondering if maybe we don't have some similarities to that with Dobbs and, of course, Hurd and hopefully Kamara.
You know, that's a, you know what? Here are a couple programs I look at, Sean, and you tell me if this is a mirror and bigger. Al, you guys, let's kick us around. When I look at Tennessee's program right now, I'm drawing inspiration for next year. And just to say better things are ahead, not that I'm projecting this type of success, but I'm just saying mirror type, similar approaches and similar type results. I'm looking at what Clemson's doing right now and what they've done. You know, it isn't with Dabo Swinney, it isn't because this is his seventh year, but he's had several 10-win type seasons in a row, and now they're, which is proof positive, and Fulmer showed us this. If you do that long enough, eventually you're going to knock the door down. You just are.
Yep.
I mean, the law of averages say that you will. But Dabo Swinney, I don't think, is the greatest game day coach in the world. He's in a master of talent. and he's a marketer, and he's an energy guy, and he's on the energy bus. And dadgummit this, and dadgummit that, and blah, 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 blah. And I'm going to tell you something. If Saban moves on, the Bammers are going to hire him, and they are going to fall off the damn cliff with him down there. I'm just telling you. From where Saban was. The second thing I'm going to draw inspiration from is the success of Auburn when Chizik was there with Nick Marshall as a quarterback who literally was a defensive back or an athlete playing quarterback, which is what Josh Dobbs is. Sean Sinclair, am I wrong in trying to draw inspiration from those two programs heading into 2016?
No, I don't, but I would add these two programs. I like where we are in relation to the rest of the East. We've all talked about the other, but here's what I haven't heard anybody talk about. For all the genius and the second coming talk that I've heard about Jim McElwain, you go take a look at it, not just Will Grier, you go back and take a look at the last five or six games. His team's not playing for him. There's no way he should be spanked. I don't care if I'm playing quarterback for Florida today. There's no way that talent should be spanked by Michigan like that. Those guys aren't playing for him. And so and then you got Muschamp, come on. I mean, that's a joke. You got Kentucky and Vandy, we've already lapped them. And then Kirby Smart's a wild card. I don't know. You're not going to recruit better than Mark Richt has over the past 10 years. It's physically impossible. He's recruited incredibly well. So I love where Tennessee is right now. So, if you want to take inspiration from, the only thing I would say about Nick Marshall wasn't a pinpoint passer. A lot of his passing came off play action, and he was just a more accurate deep ball guy. And he had receivers that would go get the ball, like Duke Williams and some of these other guys. So, I think we could do that. But and no one wants to hear that. We're still young. I mean, Ethan Wolf seems like he's been around forever. He's only a sophomore. Jalen Hurts only a sophomore. We're going to start getting as we start flipping, meaning, Jalen Hurts not going to be playing, sophomores, juniors, and seniors. He's going to be just, there are two classes below him. All of our guys are getting older, and they're going to be playing younger guys, against younger guys. And that's going to be to our advantage.
That's a great point. Can I say something about the announcers?
How about it?
Well, I cringed when I saw Mark Jones and Rob Gilmore in the opening here. And Gilmore, I think he's a complete jerk. I was watching with my son. Now, my son was raised a Tennessee fan. He was offered a 4-year aerospace engineering scholarship to Roll Tide, Roll the Drums, Alabama. So he's in his junior year down there. I'm watching with him, and but he's like really ripping this guy for his bias toward, away from Tennessee and toward the perceived as a Big Ten bias. I went back after I heard earlier, like an hour ago, probably someone say that he told Evan Berry taking me. He did not say that. He was talking about when Dormady was in and we were moving the ball downfield. At that point, he was basically criticizing us for even running offensive plays, which I thought was ridiculous. But when Berry scored, he didn't say take a knee.
Okay.
I went back and checked that my boys, we went out and threw the football after the game was over, and I made that joke. I said, boy, I'm surprised he didn't tell Evan Berry to take a knee. Then when I heard it on your post-game show, I had to go back and recheck it. The best thing about that was when John Gruden was on the sideline, and Gilmore asked him, said, what do you think about the Northwestern power versus Tennessee speed? And Gruden says, well, I don't know. I said, if you look out there, Tennessee is obviously the bigger team out there.
Well, they can talk about speed all they want, and certainly we had speed. Northwestern got their rear ends kicked. They got bludgeoned, both lines of scrimmage. I don't care how big and powerful they are. They got dominated by our offensive line, and our defensive line wore them out as well. We had the speed and the power in that game.
That's true. I mean, the size and the power was a complete, it was just completely incorrect.
But They were just outmanned. They had no Northwestern and Iowa. They have no business being in these games. So no offense.
But the way, before I leave, I wanted to say one thing. Watching the Oklahoma game last night, and then basically they kept saying, this is the best since the Tennessee game, or kept referring to the
Yeah, exactly. They kept throwing that up at us, didn't they?
And then the Alabama game, they started doing it too. It was like, best since the Tennessee game for them too. My point is, and even in the Iowa game, they were talking about that. You know, since they got beaten in the Tennessee game last year, that's when they went to this Brethert instead of the other quarterback. But we're getting a lot of verbal buzz going on here because of our schedule, I guess, these teams that we've beaten.
That's a, and even those teams we lost to, and that's a great point. And I thank you for your call, Big Rao. Great talking to you up in beautiful Louisville. 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. Dr. Sean Sinclair is joining me. I'm in the Raymier studio today. And, Sean, you make a great point. Tennessee smashed them at the line of scrimmage. Let me say a word to those who may be smashed on this victory celebration, no matter where you are. I want to remind you that the Garza Law Firm is providing our sponsorship today, along with Smartway. And before you say guilty, say Garza. And I want to encourage you, because Tennessee penalties are very severe, make sure you select the right DUI defense attorney for you in order to protect your rights and your future, because it is your rights and your future that we're talking about here. And attorney Marcos Garza, one of only a few Tennessee DUI lawyers who's trained and certified by the National Highway Transportation Safety Administration. That's the NHTSA, for those of you keeping score at home. He's one of the very few with regards to the administration of standardized field sobriety tests. He knows his stuff. You're dealing with a guy that flat out knows what he's talking about in Marcos Garza. And you better know that what I'm saying is right on the money. Go online, tncriminallaw.com, tncriminallaw.com. If you need a Tennessee criminal defense lawyer to handle criminal drug charges, DUI, murder, sex crime, speeding ticket, a vehicular homicide issue, or any other legal issue, the Garza Law Firm is at your service. Online, tncriminallaw.com. Back to the phones we go. The great Sean Sinclair is joining me, who is a notable practitioner of dentistry. In other words, he's a dentist. Cinco, tell them where they can find you, my good friend.
Hey, Tony, I'll tell you what. We're proud. 15th year being in business. 12th year here in Maryville. We're right on 321 down the street from Blount Memorial Hospital. If you are needing some help, you need a second opinion, got some questions, give us a ring, 681-3004. We'd love the opportunity to help you.
Cinco, you know, in that 15 years, at times you feel like Iowa in that first half in this Doze Bowl, and at other times you feel like Stanford in the first half in that Doze Bowl. I've been at it here with this show for over 11 years, and it is a real challenge to get up every day and bring your lunch pail. I respect, like you can't even imagine, business owners all across this country who employ people, who take the swings, the ups and the downs. But Dr. Sinclair is a great dentist. He's worked with me in the past. He does a wonderful job. He will take great care of you in beautiful Maryville. S-E-A-N Sinclair. That's how you find him, Dr. Sean Sinclair. Let's go back to our phones. And let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome in.
Hey, what's going on, Tony B?
Hey, who's this?
This is Robbie.
Hey, welcome in, buddy.
You guys, you, Doc, and Vino, each one of y'all made
one point in particular each of you guys did that was just gospel. Doc, with Jennings, they've got to move Jennings over to defense in the offseason. I mean, he's a defensive guy. I mean, he's a complete knucklehead. I think Bino was right on the money with Evan Berry. You know, especially if Kamara does leave out, how can you not get, I mean, he's a playmaker. I mean, the kid's electrifying when he's got the ball in his hands. And I guess lastly with you, Tony, and something you brought up, and we already saw it once this year. I don't know if you mentioned it, but with Dobbs and having to rely on him in back-to-back games, that's why we lost the Arkansas game. Josh Dobbs was beat to hell by the time Arkansas rolled in here after that Florida game. Don't you think? I mean, he had to be black and blue.
That's the deal. Somebody said to me today at Kazzy's, you know, they got to let him run in the Arkansas game. And I didn't want to argue, you know, it's his nearest day. And I mean, after what my neighbor, Jimmy, gave me last night at his party, I was just so, like, not wanting to argue, and I'm not a kid anymore. But my point is, my point is, and I didn't take pills or anything. I just had a couple shots of whiskey and some moonshine, and I was just like, oh, my God, I'm not 19 again anymore, okay?
Did you go George Thorough good on him?
One bourbon, one scotch, and one beer?
Whatever it takes.
I did have some 45-year-old bourbon, I think. It was very, very good. At any rate, it was insane. In fact, it burned me so bad I had to have another shot of it just to see if it would really burn me that badly. But Robbie, to your point, that's my point about this guy. He's got to get a little better as a passer. Reason being, when you get in that 4-game stretch next year, there is no quarter. Nobody's going to let up on you. And if I'm not mistaken, Sean, it's 4 straight weeks. And so he's got to be able to run the ball 4 straight weeks to get through that gauntlet, or he's got to be able to, they've got to draw some ball plays up for him to compensate. That's why I love your idea, Sean. See, everybody laughed at Jerry Colquitt when Butch Jones first came here because Jerry was belaboring the point. Jerry's point is, you're not going to beat people that matter unless you do what Tennessee did with Ellis today at fullback. That was right on time today. And the way they were throwing the ball to him out of those sets, Sean, was just, it was a thing of beauty. But again, like a lot of things this season, you kind of come back to it and you go, I'm going to enjoy the moment. I'm enjoying the win. But I also critically will look at it and go, well, God, where was that this year? Where was that? And you can do both, right, Sean? Can you do both, Robbie, and not be bitter? Can you do both, guys, and not be bitter?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You have to do, you know, you've got to be able to. I mean, that's on Butch and the staff. I think part of the biggest problem is, and Sean alluded to it, I don't think we're getting our money's worth out of our wide receivers coach. And something that nobody's talking about is that, you know, we've had a graduate, and nothing against the kid, but, I mean, when you've got a graduate assistant as your quarterback coach in the SEC, you know, it is what it is. I mean, especially considering that, you know, Josh Dobbs, like you said, Tony, he's not your typical college football player. I mean, he's at UT to go to school. I mean, he's not here just another cog in the football factory. He's not going to, everybody can say what they want about this summer and Dobbs and him being on campus and working out more. Dobbs is going to be wherever his internship is with whatever, you know, defense contractor or aeronautical corporation that decides they're going to give him an internship. And I don't have a problem with it. More power to him. I'm glad he's ours. You know what I mean?
I'm
coaching coach in the summer anyway, so that's kind of irrelevant. I mean, if he's going to, we'd like him to be passing the ball, but it doesn't matter who his coach is at that time.
What about the Whitfield guy, though, Cinco? See, here's the whole thing about this deal. You're not. Look, I'm not trying to be funny here. You are what you are at the age of 21, throwing the football. You just are what you are. Yes or no?
No, because I think that Jonathan Crompton certainly changed.
Did he get? No, but he always was talented, arm talent wise. Though it was between the years for him, wasn't it?
Yeah,
well, maybe it's between the years with Josh Dobbs, and I don't mean an intelligence aspect. I mean a football decision aspect. Like you said, he threw it up when he threw it up to, you know, into double coverage when he had Wolf wide open. So maybe just seeing the field a little different. And here's another thing about, I've heard this all year. Sheridan's only a GA because he's here as a GA. He's been a coordinator in major college football before. He's been a quarterback coach as well. I mean, we've had other GAs on here that were full-time coaches before. I'm not buying all into that we have a GA coaching quarterbacks.
Are you bringing Sheridan back as your quarterback's coach next year?
I don't have a problem with it because what kind of quarterback do you want? I don't think that David Cutcliffe would be a great, running type quarterback coach. What's David Cutcliffe going to bring to that? Now, he may be able to fix your mechanics, but doesn't seem to be where our offense. And I know people are going to hear me say that Cutcliffe couldn't coach. I'm not saying that at all. It just depends on what you want. I need a guy that's going to be a great recruiter. And apparently this kid is having no problem getting kids that want to come play for him. So I don't really have a problem with Nick Sheridan, and I don't know Nick Sheridan at all.
He's very dynamic. Garantano has been jocking for him. Some of these other talented kids, obviously. I think, just from talking to people within the program, he's highly thought of, and he has the look today of a guy that'll be a future head coach one day. That's not a stretch to think that.
If you want to go with titles, I mean, I'd rather have a GA and Nick Sheridan coaching one of my positions than a guy who's a passing game coordinator who's been a recruiting coordinator on Tennessee staff in Zach Azani. Are you kidding me?
Azani, you aren't going to get any argument I made on Azani. I mean, we're not getting anything out of the wide receivers. I don't know if you're a five-star wide receiver, why do you even want to come here right now? And they aren't getting developed. So, but on a positive note, it was fun watching Tennessee, take somebody up in the back alley and just beat them until the wet meat kind of sound, punch them in the face.
that deal with number one, when he started finishing those runs in the middle of that third quarter, guys, and like you said, Sean, when they got him lined up between those tackles, and he got ahead of steam up, you know what it reminded me of? Is those two bowl games Tennessee played with Nebraska back in the day, and I remember a couple of Tennessee players who will remain nameless, who told me at that time, and then will tell me today, that they looked over at those Nebraska kids and said, "We've had enough. Enough. We're done. Please. Please. No more. Uncle." Uncle. Yeah, and that was a great, and let me tell you, those were great Tennessee football teams. And Nebraska pounded their face in because it was just pure attitude. Watching Hurd today, Cinco, run with that football, and he's hurt. He's hurt out there today.
There's some kids on that Northwestern team that are going to be in NFL camp.
Let me tell you what, that middle linebacker on that, when we were inside the 5-yard line, when Hurd took it in, he knew where that play was going, and he ran away from the play.
Yeah, he didn't want any good.
He wanted nothing. It's about the same time they started talking about how he was puking on the sidelines. He wanted none of that.
Hey, let me tell you, you know who that guy looked like? He looked like Kiko Alonso playing middle linebacker for my Eagles. Kiko Alonso, his rear end, it looks like mine, okay? He's got no, and I'm showing everybody on the, I just stood up on my chair to show everybody how little my rear end, he's got no rear end! Sorry. Robbie, finish us up, I got a full bank here, brah.
Oh, and Leo, I don't know who Gilmore's partner was, but he did say after Miss Tennessee went in and Dormady was throwing, when Gilmore said that, he said that if you don't want your feelings to get hurt, don't play football. So
I agree.
Gilmore was talking about Tennessee, question whether or not Tennessee should be throwing the ball. Anyhow, great show, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Robbie.
Chill Howie Mountain Vol says the knock on Cam Newton entering the draft was he was inaccurate. He put in work and is now much improved. It can happen for Dobbs. I don't.
Yeah, those aren't even in the same hemisphere as far as talent.
I don't. You said it. Okay. Chilhowee Mountain Vol fan, with all due respect, if these were baseball pitchers, what you've got is you've got a guy in Cam Newton who was wild but threw in the high 90s, and you got a guy in Dobbs who throws the ball about 88 miles an hour. I mean, I'm not getting ugly, but, and Cam Newton is as great of a runner as Dobbs, and that run Dobbs had today where he kept his, that's what I love about today's game. You had highlight plays, it was fun, it was loose, it was relaxed, it was what college football is, what bowl games are supposed to be. You had seniors out there like Malik Foreman making plays, and Ellis, and all these guys that have mattered, and Kurbison, they run the table, and my gosh, and it's just so fun. But when Andre Ware continued to make that comparison between those two guys, all you do is do a disservice, Cinco, to Josh Dobbs, who I think is a fine player, but he's just not a great passer of the football. Let's go back to the phones and get our next call in. Hello and welcome. You're on your Smartway Garza Law Firm Tennessee Football Overtime Fifth Quarter Fan Reaction. Welcome in.
Hey, Tony, Sean. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Hey, thank you for being there.
Hadn't been easy to say. It's great to be involved the last 6-7 years, but it's great to be involved, boys. Congrats.
Amen.
On the win. I'll take two quick thoughts and get off the phone because I know you got plenty of people that want to speak here. But real quick, the previous caller mentioned Juwan Jennings being a knucklehead, and I would assume part of that's in reference to the personal foul call. Did anybody notice that the defender had his face mask whenever he threw him to the ground? I mean, what is the guy supposed to do there? Just take that and let him take his helmet with him? What did you guys see there?
You just gotta have more presence about you. You're exactly right, but you know they're going to call that all day, every day, and that could have been a game changer. So, you know, I don't blame him, but it was still a knucklehead play.
Okay, fair enough. Sean, just to be devil's advocate with you,
sure.
Out of respect, I ask this question. Everybody's talking about getting rid of Jancic and Azani and Willie Martinez, and man, I just don't see it. I guess my first question to you would be, what's more important in a college football coach, not NFL, a college football assistant coach? Is it more important to be a great recruiter or an X's and O's guy? Go ahead.
Well, I don't think Jancic is either one of those.
Okay, and then the other two?
Everyone wants to talk about Aaron Medley and whatever. I lay the Oklahoma and Florida games squarely on the footsteps of Jancic and Martinez.
I still think the DBs are thinking that Jancic is better than Chief, so I would keep that in mind as well.
Well, I still think the DBs play with some of the worst technique I've ever seen in defensive backs. And I don't think Jancic's a natural. I really don't. I think he's a guy that's a script guy. I don't think he has a whole lot of talent. I think he's just been around for a while and knows what to call. But I think he's Peter principled a little bit. And I believe, and nothing against him. Hey, I couldn't do it. I'm not qualified to do it. But I do think if Jones wants to get around, Jones is not good enough himself to get a championship. Frankly, he does what he does. He's got to surround himself with championship quality guys doing things that he's not great at. And I don't believe he has a whole staff of those guys.
Okay. One of the things I would say to that is, I'm sure you follow recruiting, obviously. Azani and Willie Martinez are amazing recruiters, in my opinion, if you follow it as closely as I do. There's a ton of guys that Willie Martinez has got us in on, and if he goes with Rick to Georgia, I think we're set back a year on the defensive side of the ball. Conversely, if you get rid of any of these guys, you know, even if you bring in a stud like the guy from Penn State, you're going to set yourself back a year. You don't just lose assistant coaches and think, oh, well, we're going to be fine.
Oh, I think that DeBoard showed you that's not necessarily the case. We brought in, he was here for a spring. We've got a totally different offense, meaning that we're concentrating on a run. We've got a completely different blocking scheme, and we're much more effective as an offense than we were last year with the same guys, albeit they're a year older, so I'll grant you that. As far as Martinez and Azani recruiting, I don't buy that. I don't buy that at all.
I think that Jones is the best recruiter on the team, always has been and always will be. I don't believe we'll lose anybody if Martinez leaves. I really don't. Yeah, I believe you could put Terry Fair right in there, and Fair would be a much more effective recruiter than Martinez.
That's possible. I don't think Terry Fair has the Florida ties that Willie Martinez has, which are always nice.
Who's he bringing in from Florida this year? Brandon Johnson?
Brandon
Johnson, I don't think, caught 30 balls all year.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. You guys keep talking about the lack of production from the receivers and the fact that Azani's not a great receivers coach. When do we throw the damn ball, guys? And when we do, it's in the flat to our running backs.
Well, I'll tell you this. I sat there and I've watched all year us throw up, you know, go routes, et cetera, and they weren't great. And receivers who are at least 5-6 inches taller than the DBs do nothing with the ball.
I don't know. I respectfully disagree with what you're saying. I think
I can tell you this. There may be one, but there's not more than one wide receiver over there right now that gives a flip about Zach Azani. And I haven't said that all year, but I can guarantee you Tony can confirm that.
You're saying just because he notoriously coaches them hard or what?
They aren't coached that hard. They aren't coached anywhere near like Kippy Brown coached wide receivers. Not even close. It has nothing to do with that. They don't respect the guy.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think there's a kind of a lack of respect from player to coach, from him there, yeah.
Okay. And you guys obviously see stuff that I don't, so I get that.
But let me tell you something. I also think that what you're saying, I also think there's a food for thought deal here with what you're saying from this standpoint. I look at what Texas A&M did in changing defensive coordinators this year, and they were a train wreck. I looked at what Auburn did in changing defensive coordinators this year, and they were a train wreck. Now, you could say they were a train wreck because they were a train wreck because they were a train wreck, but they still were a train wreck. So, but also, if you're Butch Jones and you get the feeling that you're done with a guy, and this is what's going to be interesting here in the next week or so, or the next couple days, 3 or 4 days, as we see what happens. It's going to be, I hear that it's probably going to be a done deal. And it's kind of escalated quickly. I do hear what you're saying, though. I do, you and Russell said the same thing today, which is, and I don't know how to feel about it. I'm just telling you what I'm hearing.
Well, if you want to say, be careful what you wish for, then I will agree with you because there's no guaranteed deal right there. But I know what I'm getting with John Jancic. I absolutely know what I'm getting with him, and I know what I'm getting with Martinez. And in my opinion, it's not good enough. It's absolutely not good enough. In 2 years, I've watched Foreman and Mosley not progress, though there was a nice interception. For whatever reason, I've watched Cam Sutton regress. I've watched safety still take bad angles. There's just no reason for that. And I'm willing to take a chance on a higher reward than what we're getting right now, because what we're getting right now, in my opinion, is not going to put you in the playoffs. I just don't believe that.
Well, and again, we're 3 or 4 plays away from this not even being a discussion, so I disagree with you.
Well, I would say one of those plays was a Florida play where you had 3 wide receivers just sitting around doing nothing on a simple curl route, and they had no idea what they were doing.
The Florida play is a bad play. There's nothing I can say to that. The fourth quarter against Oklahoma is terrible. There's nothing I can say against that. But again, those are games that we should have won, and in retrospect, those are games that we're not even talking about had we won them. We're not talking about Jancic being a terrible or mid-level defensive coordinator had it not been for a few plays. Let's be honest with ourselves. I mean, you're bringing up the same shit that people used to say about Chief back in the day. The worst DBs you've ever seen. We used to say the same thing back in the mid-90s about Chief's defenses, and we look up to him as a god.
I just respectfully disagree. I don't think they're quality coach. I've never met either one of them. I don't have an axe to grind against them. You and I just respectfully disagree, and I'm not going to say you're wrong and I'm right. I don't know.
Well, I appreciate that. And the only other thing that I would say is let's not forget let's not forget these last 6-7 years. Let's show some loyalty to a group of guys that has consistently been there, all but one guy who left us last year, and who's brought us back to prominence, guys. We haven't had loyal coaches. Let's be loyal to them a little bit here. We've got no reason not to be at this point.
Thank you. Appreciate
great
call, the call.
Guys. Have a good night.
Thank you. 865-200-5402. Let's get our next call in. 33. Oh, I was given the time. Next call in. Hello and welcome. You're on your Smart Way Garza Law Firm. Fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello.
What's happening, Tony B?
Hey, welcome in.
Hey, it's Mark and Sam from Maryville. We're down in Tampa right now, live and living color.
Oh, man. Set the scene for me. How was it down there? We've heard from some folks. We took it by storm, did we not?
Yeah, you know, Tony, it's Mark here. We met you at the Missouri game at Cassie's. Called in at Vandy, and if you cannot believe it, but I told you after the Vandy game I was going to call you after the bowl game after we kicked some tail. And here I am, and that's what we did.
You delivered, man. You and Curbis and you guys delivered.
You know, we were flying down yesterday, and these Northwestern fans are on the plane, and they
conceded the game before we even played. It was very interesting.
What did they say? What do you mean they conceded the game before the game was played? What do you mean by that?
Well, based off what we were talking to them about, they were like, well, we realize that you have much better athletes. We think our coach is possibly better, but we don't think our athletes can keep up. And I was like, well, if you're watching the Alabama-Michigan State game, it's going to look something like that. And Tony B, it looked exactly like that.
You know what? If you're watching Stanford and Iowa right now, it looked like that. I'll give those people credit in that conference of this. They know when they're outmanned, and there really ain't a whole hell of a lot you can do about it when you're outmanned on a football field. I mean, you can hope you play a cleaner game. When you're outmanned and you don't play a cleaner game, you're getting your face blown off. I mean, I'm going to tell you something. I think Tennessee is so much better than that team physically that the Vols could have turned the ball over 4 times today and still won. That's how much better they are than that team.
Well, yeah, that's the funny thing. I know you said on your show the other day, as long as the Vols don't turn it over more than 4 times, they'll win. Well, we had 0 turnovers and they had 4. But back to what you were saying about being outmanned, the fact is, when I was talking to these guys on our plane, we were going from Atlanta to Tampa, and I said, I'm going to be dead honest with you, Tone. I mean, I'm going to be dead honest with you, bud. You got a bunch of white guys. You're slow, and you're white. And that is exactly what a Big Ten team minus Ohio State minus Michigan is. But you're slow, and you're white, and we're the University of Tennessee, and we're SEC, and this is how we get it done. So you guys have no shot. And these guys are like, yeah, do you think we're going to keep it under the spread? I was like, bet your mortgage that Tennessee will cover that spread. And I hope I made those guys some money today, Tone, because I know I made myself some.
You did a public service, my friend. You did a public service. And that is a reason for you to feel good. Feel good about
Tony,
yourself.
Tony, it's Kristen, Sam's girlfriend. We've been listening to you now for, 4 or 5 hours, and he finally got in to your call-in show. I don't know if I'm going to keep him or not.
Kristen, I would say keep him. He's a winner, obviously.
We'll keep him.
He shows a lot of stick-to-itness. What you might want to do in your personal life with him, let me give you a little dating advice here, Kristen. I'm going to give you a little...
Oh, God.
I'm gonna give you a little dating advice with this young guy you've got on the hook here.
Okay.
Kristen, listen to me here. Toy around with him a little bit, okay? Threaten him with kind of other men, that sort of thing, because the guy is really determined. Anybody that would sit there and call a show for 4 or 5 hours till he got through is my kind of guy. You need to test him, though. See if his resolve to get through today's show is as strong for you as it was for him to get on there and tell me he was right. Do you know what I mean?
I'll try that.
Hey, Coach, she's got other men.
She's got other men? All right, yeah. Now we're talking.
But not other guys can last for 3.5 hours.
Oh, my.
Oh, Cinco.
We know you got a lot of callers waiting, just like we were. And, you know, good 2016 kickoff. We're undefeated this year. And we look forward to talking to you after the first game, especially after the Battle of Bristol.
Thank you, brother. Have a Dwight Gooden. And don't forget about us during the year, too, as we're on every day from 11 to 1. Spread the word. Tell a friend. If you're finding us today through this means and you like what you hear, we keep it informational and keep it fun.
Can I interject real quick?
Well, let me ask you one thing before you interject.
Sure. Yep.
Tennessee got two commitments today.
Yep.
Cincinnati native offensive lineman Nathan Niehaus.
Yep.
Flipped from West Virginia to Tennessee.
Yep.
He is 6'6", 259-pound tackle. Obviously, they're going to put some weight on his frame. And the other one is Baylen Buchanan. I would like your thoughts on both of those, Dr. Sinclair.
Well, the Niehaus kid, you just don't know because he's a developmental guy. He's an aggressive kid. He's got very good feet. He's very athletic, but he's athletic at 260 pounds. He's a kind of a narrow-shouldered guy, so I'm not sure how he's going to, I don't know how his body's going to respond. But, you know, as far as if you're drawing up a developmental tackle and we need tackle bodies, you know, he and Ryan Johnson are what you're looking for. Great feet. The Buchanan kid just fits in what they're doing. He and Markell Osborne are both about 5'11", 6 feet tall with long arms and about 185, 190 pounds. So, they fit right in like with Abernathy and some of these other kids. So, just another guy. And as far as what I wanted to interject is, I forgot the caller before that he and I disagreed. I hope I can meet that guy someday because I'd like to buy him a drink. Because whether you're right or wrong, and I don't know that I am, I respect people that bring it. And even if you're have a different opinion than me, I respect people that bring it. And that guy brought it, and go Vols with that guy.
There's no question. And you know, our approach, we've talked about it, Sean, has always been, We don't pretend. I've never pretended to have all the answers. In fact, I have very few. I love conversation. I love when we're respectful toward each other. We don't name call. He didn't name call. You didn't. This is my point of view. This is why I feel this way. This is my point of view. This is why I feel this way. Hey, we're going to have to agree to disagree. I'm not going to call you a shape. And I'm not going to get involved in that. And you're not going to call me a, you know, whatever. And... Look, we all want the same thing. We're all in this family. Some of us come about it differently. Some of us see things differently. Big tent, there's room for everybody. We're not here to shut anybody down. Let's go back to our phones. I'm glad you pointed that out. I'm proud of that aspect of what we try and do here. Because a lot of times it gets lost because what the critics want to do, Sean, when you're not afraid to open your mind and just think about things, and when you entertain all sides, the critics want to paint you as somebody that's only negative. But what ends up happening in all conversation is we only hear what we want to hear. We don't hear the whole thing. And I just want to keep myself open-minded enough to where, I'm reading a book right now. You know, I'm for the legalization of drugs, and I'm reading a book that's it's 180, and I'm on like page 220, and I'm going to interview this guy for our book corner, which is a segment on my website and on my app of book interviews that I have. Those of you not familiar with what I do, it's not just sports, but I do a lot of music, I do a lot of popular culture, I do a lot of history, I do a lot of current events, I do a lot, and I'm just talking about with my book corner, with my reading. And what this guy has done to me is he's challenged me to the point where I'm thinking to myself, are my views in this end, are they right? And there's nothing wrong with that. And there's nothing wrong with that at all. Let's go back to our phones. Glad you pointed that out. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome in to our next caller. You are on your smart way, Garza Law Firm. Fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello.
Hey, Tony and Sean, this is JJ.
Hey, brother, welcome in.
I want to wish you guys a happy new year.
So, same to you, and our best to you as you spin the hits at DJ Squared.
Yes, from one star to two star, all the way to five star.
Yes. He detonated himself, Cinco. What do you think of that, Cinco, when a guy detonates himself like that?
Hey, if you're going to do something, do it 100 miles an hour.
Wow. Somebody else fell off the line, too. I hope we're not having phone line trouble. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome, JJ. Come on back to us, and I'll put you to the front, although I won't know who you are when you call in because we're on auto attendant here. But let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Tony?
Yes, welcome in. That's you.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Hey, welcome in.
This is Jared. I tweeted you just before kickoff, right after kickoff, with a picture of the stadium, and you retweeted it. I know you guys are Kazzies, but we had a great time down here in Tampa for a wonderful, wonderful bowl victory.
Tell me about what that atmosphere was like and what it was like. It looked to me like there had to be 45,000 Tennessee fans there. I mean, it looked like it was incredible.
Well, there might have been, the stadium wasn't full. There's probably maybe 15,000 empty seats. I mean, it wasn't full by any means. But it was probably 4-1 Tennessee fans, to Northwestern fans. It was a great atmosphere. I will have to say we went to the Tax Slayer Bowl last year. Personally, I thought the Tax Slayer atmosphere and just the way that they ran their bowl game was better. But it was still a great time for us to get down here and watch Tennessee win one last game before next season. I know there's going to be a lot of hype going into next year.
You know what's interesting about you saying that? I had a chance to spend some time in Jacksonville right around Thanksgiving time of this year. Jacksonville is a really sweet little city that doesn't get a lot of run. And I don't want this to come out wrong. Tampa area is okay, but I like Jacksonville better. I can't believe I'm saying that because I do like Tampa, but it's interesting to hear you say that. But continue. Go ahead.
I will say we probably had more fans at stadium than the Buccaneers had all year, according to what their ushers and things like that were saying. That apparently they've had a hard time putting anybody in the stands for the Buccaneers game. You know, you were talking about that 6'6", 259-pound commitment that we just got. I want to ask what the doctor thinks of this. I like the fact that he is a little bit on the leaner side because it's much easier to bulk a guy up to the size that you want him than it is to pull a bunch of fat off of a guy. Do you see it the same way?
I do, but the only thing is you just never know how a young man's body's going to react. I remember we had a kid, Robert Todd, out of Memphis, incredible guy, played at Germantown, All-State, you know, highly recruited. He got here, he could never put on the weight. Again, a thin-shouldered guy, thin hips. And, you know, he kind of bounced around, offensive tackle, tight end, et cetera. So, but if you want to say that, looking at, you know, athletic ability and the potential to gain weight, I agree with you 150%.
Yeah, I just feel like that, you know, whenever Butch Jones first came, we had some humongous linemen and, they weren't really suited for the type of offense that they're trying to run. And I know some people really don't like it. Some people love it. It's just kind of what football has gone to. But if this is the type of offense that we are going to run, then these are the size linemen that we need to be recruiting, especially now that we have a little bit of depth at that, you know, at the offensive line position. We need more, by all means. We need a lot of good prospects at all five positions across that line. But I don't know. I'm kind of excited about this size kid because he could, you know, potentially grow into something that that Tennessee needs at the tackle position, especially if he has good feet already.
You know what's interesting about you bringing the recruiting deal up, and people automatically think that Buchanan is, on the other side of things, is a package deal for Warrior. Sean Sinclair does not mince his words, and he's not going to just say he believes somebody something just to say it to you. It sounds to me, Sean, like you think Buchanan is a nice player who has potential and is merits an offer from Tennessee.
Well, I do think he's a nice player. I think that it doesn't hurt that he's from the same school of D'Angelo Gibbs and Nigel Warrior. Yeah, Peachtree down there produces a lot of talent. So, no, I do agree. I'm not going to say that he would be number one on the board if some of the other, Nigel Knott or some of these other guys were interested in Tennessee. But I think he's a nice pickup. Again, a long kid who has, and I'm a big pedigree guy. I really believe that kids like that who've grown up in football, whose father played football, I think that means something. I can't prove that or quantify it, but it means something. And I wouldn't be surprised if he's another guy like Cam Sutton, three-star kid that, who knows, may leave early for the NFL.
I hope that doesn't happen. I think that after the – I agree with you. I think Cam has probably regressed a little bit this year. And that might bode well for us as Tennessee fans, maybe not getting as high of a draft prospect rating as he would be hoping for. So maybe we can hang on to him for another year. But I really am impressed by our middle linebacker position. I think Kirkland Jr. Has the potential to be one of the best middle linebackers we've had. I mean, he's definitely a great fill-in for A.J. Johnson, you know, with the way we lost him. But excited to see how he progresses, you know, into next season. I think he could really be a good leader on that defensive side of the football. Excited about, you know, how Tennessee finished this year. I think that you're looking at probably, in my opinion, a top 10 rating, or, you know, ranking preseason. And, that's just my opinion. I think they'll be in the top 10. And if we don't play for the East, I'll probably pull all my hair out. But, looking forward to listening to you guys tomorrow after the Auburn game as we make our drive the rest of the way back from down here. And, Tony, thanks for all you do for us fans, and I look forward to listening to the rest of the show as we drive back to Georgia.
Hey, thank you, man. And hey, listen, I appreciate the kind words, and I want you to have a good, safe trip on your way back. It matters to me that you're out there. You've got choices. Anybody listening to us, speaking of choices, Christian McCaffrey at halftime has 248 all-purpose yards. 248 all-purpose yards. Let me say this to you about Christian McCaffrey. If Christian McCaffrey played at Notre Dame this year, he would have the Heisman Trophy. Okay? He was the best player in college football this season. If you watched their last regular season football game, you would have seen that. Sean, that guy is unique. He's dynamic. He does 100 million things on the football field. His sin, as far as not getting more run for the Heisman, is that he played most nights when people on the East Coast were sleeping. He is one tremendous, I mean, tremendous football player.
No, I think I'm going to ruffle some feathers here. I think if he was the same player and was black, he'd have the Heisman Trophy right now. I truly believe that. I mean, he just, there's a stigma You know, it's a Gordy Lockbaum syndrome. It's the, it's on and on. It's just the, you know, this guy's doing, I don't know if he's the same as Fast, but he's doing stuff that Rocket Ishmael didn't do. And I know Rocket didn't win the Heisman, but he was the best player that year. I mean, it just, this kid's unreal. He's, every time he touches the ball, whether it's on special teams, running the ball, receiving, et cetera, he's a threat to go the distance.
And how many running backs do we have to see come through Alabama to realize that that's a system? I mean, that's just plug and play there. This guy is so special, so unique, so different, so dynamic, so freaking fun to watch. Unbelievable. Andy, Mac, I love McCaffrey. I love him. By the way, you can also make the case, because they were the last team out, that they're serving notice right now. That they belonged in that playoff. Now, you weren't going to put anybody in ahead of them, but I'm going to say this, Sean. They need to do the right thing with college football and go to eight teams. Because if Ohio State would have played Clemson last night, that would have been a good football game. And then you could have played it right on down and gone right on down the line and had five playing four and three and six and two and whatever. I'm telling you, the ratings last night have to be alarming to college football. They've got to go to an 18 playoff. They've got to put it on New Year's Day. And the whole thing, the whole holdup here, today, the reason they played those games last night, which I think added to how stupid those games were, besides from bad matchups, is that the Rose Bowl was not going to leave their slot. They let the Rose Bowl dictate to them. And the Rose Bowl is getting exactly what was coming to them. Because that is a damn season beating that's happening right there on the field for everybody to see. Let's go back to our phones. I feel better. Cinco, do you have a thought on that? An 18 playoff next year? It would have been so competitive this year. Even though those two games last night, I know that's counterintuitive, because those two games last night were complete blowouts. But there's so little difference this year, I believe, especially when you watch a Stanford play, and you think about how close Tennessee was to an Oklahoma. There's so little difference in there from 8-1. Am I wrong?
No, 18 playoff is a no-brainer. It'd make so much money. It'd be so entertaining. You would take the importance out of these knuckleheads and this committee away. You know, if you're the ninth place team and you feel like you got jobbed, I don't have any sympathy for you. I mean, come on. But it'll allow other people that have played a tougher schedule, been in a tougher division, the thing. I'd also like to comment on the fact, like the guy said, that if Cam Sutton would come around again. But you know what? Hey, Cam Sutton or Reese maybe, you know, that's not bad. That's not bad for Tennessee, because it allows guys like Cortez McDowell and some of these other guys to rise through and show what they can do. And I don't know if they're going to be better or worse than what's out there now, but it allows guys to keep working. There's no better developer of talent than the sense of urgency you get when you know you can be a starter. And there's no better, bigger distractor when you're sitting on the bench and you've got a ceiling ahead of you that's a senior player. Cam Sutton's been here 3 years. The only coach he knows is Butch Jones. Same with Reeves Maben. That's going to play to recruiting. So if those guys go pro, I'm gonna spin it positive to UT, and I hope they have the best NFL careers they can have.
Back to the phones we go, 865-200-5402. And the more we find out about football and how grueling of a sport it is, I blame not one kid, not one, for cutting a college career short. Or, hey, there's only so much oil in the ground. There's only so many hits you take. And a guy like Reeves Maben ain't going to get any bigger. I mean, he is what he is. And let's go back to our phones. And I'm with Cinco 1,000%. I wish those guys well. Let's get into hunting in the mix with our next caller. Hello and welcome in. You're on your smart way, Garza Law Firm, Tennessee Football Fan Reaction, the fifth quarter. Hello.
Tony and Doc, are we on?
You are on. Go right ahead.
This is Al, Tony. Doc, appreciate you being on. You had a lot to the show over the years.
Thanks for the kind words.
Guys, I guess pretty much everything's been said. Excellent performance by the Vols today. I guess they would rank up in the top five in the bowl season, maybe. SEC is 5-2. Did I calculate right with three games to go? Does that sound right? Anyway, I think we got three teams left and pretty good performance so far. Since the topic's been covered, guys, someday could you guys do a show, maybe an hour or so, maybe get some experts or anybody and talk about the future of big-time college football? You know, in particular, I'm thinking concussion, but, you know, big money and the medical aspect and where we're going to be in 10 years, I just